Hey, this is Ryan Miller. I'm the lead pastor of Local City Church. Welcome to our podcast. I hope this talk encourages you, inspires you, and reminds you that there is always hope. That this is just the beginning of a conversation between you and Jesus. Thank you for joining us today. Enjoy the message.
I love that you don't have guest speakers, you have friend speakers, because I feel that way, and I feel so at home here, and the reason why is not because just, yes, you're my friends, but also you have a tagline of your church that is like, I don't know, like core to my DNA. There is always hope. So I have a nonprofit, it's called Curate Hope, and I speak to thousands of students every year in schools, and I do mental health talks, a lot of mental health talks. I've written some books on mental health, but the number one thing that we've written in all of our books, because I have a co-author, Dr. Chinwe Williams, both of our books have this phrase. Every time I do a school assembly, I say this phrase, and every time I'm here, I hear you say it, that there is always hope. Yes, yes. And so when I'm here and I see that, I'm like bursting inside because I love that phrase because it's so true. And when I go into a school and I say to a group of middle school or high school students, there is always hope. So don't give up. Whatever you're feeling today, just know it's going to change. You're not always going to feel this way. There is always hope. And hope starts to rise. I just can't tell them the rest of it. That hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. Amen? Come on. And that's what we can talk about this morning, that there is always hope because we have a God who loves us. And so I'm so honored to kick off this mental health month series that we're talking about shame off you. And it's so important. This is a very important conversation because it's something that we all struggle with, right? Shame is a core emotion. Every single one of us have experienced shame to one degree or another. And the reality is that shame, specifically toxic shame, can result in us kind of hiding in isolation, in secrecy. So ultimately, shame results in hiding. And so the talk today is on this idea of hide and seek. Hide and seek. How many of you are parents in the room? Or those of you who are watching online, if you're a parent, just raise your hand at the computer. That's fine. Or your phone. Yeah, parents, you understand how great kids can be at hiding, especially if you've ever lost a kid. I know that pain. I've joined the ranks of parents who have lost a child for a period of time, specifically a toddler. I was working at home in my home office, and I heard someone say, "Where is Kinsley?" At the time, Kinsley was 3 years old. She was our youngest. And we had heard this phrase, I mean, I've said it 500,000 times. Like, Kinsley was our adventurous child. And so I didn't think much of it, but then it was followed by the next statement, "And who left the door open?" Now, parents, you get what you're going to do. At this point, you're gonna walk around, and dad's like, we're going to act cool at first, right? So I'm walking around the house. I'm looking in the usual spots, closets, bedrooms, you know? And at first, I'm pretty calm. You know, Kinsley, my wife, she's pretty calm as well. Like, Kinsley, you in here? And then we think, you know, surely she didn't go outside. I mean, the door open thing, that's just a coincidence. But after about 3 minutes, I mean, you start to wonder, maybe she did go outside. And so now I'm outside the house, and I'm surrounding our house, looking in bushes, and my voice is now a little elevated. You know, it's now like, Kinsley, like, where is this child? And we can't find her. At this point, neighbors are asking, like, you lose a dog? I go, no, I lost a kid. And so Chris from across the street, he's helping. He's looking in his bushes. Kinsley, you in here? Kinsley, where could she be? At minute 6, I'm now in the car driving down the road. And parents, you get this. Like, if you're not a parent, you're like, bro, you lost a kid for 6 minutes. No big deal. 6 minutes is like forever, right? I mean, you're thinking worst case scenario. I'm now driving down the street. I'm thinking maybe she just had this irrational thought that she's going to go outside and just sprint down the road with her little tiny toddler feet, you know? And I'm screaming out the window, Kinsley, in between desperate prayers, God, please help me find this little girl. By minute 8, I call my wife, and it goes to voicemail. She's on the phone with 911. Like, at this point, we are full-blown panicking. Now, maybe we rush to it. I don't know. But 8 minutes, again, it doesn't seem like a lot. But when you've misplaced a child, it's kind of a long time, right? I mean, parents, can you give me some sympathy here, right? Like, that seems like a long time. And by the time we got to 10 minutes, it could have felt like 2 hours. We could not find this little girl. By the time I got to the front of our neighborhood, I got a call back from my wife with those sweet words, "We found her." And this little 3-year-old girl had done something that she had never done before. She walked into our garage and hid behind a small pile of things and remained quiet the entire time. Now, that in itself is actually pretty incredible, that a 3-year-old was able to stay quiet for 10 minutes. So bravo to her. But I lost years of my life. She was really good at hiding. But here's the big idea of that story. Kinsley was good at hiding, and honestly, we're all kind of good at hiding. It's in our human DNA. But there's something very important that every parent understands, that she can hide as long as she wants. But she has a loving mother and a loving father who will never stop seeking, that will never stop looking for her. We will run tirelessly till we find her. And the truth is that every single one of us have a heavenly Father who will never tire of seeking us, looking for us, drawing us out of hiding, and calling us into relationship and wholeness and truth and joy and in hope. And that's the good news. The good news is, regardless of the places that we tend to hide in our life, and the places that we go when we feel shame, that we have a God who seeks us. Shame, as described by Brené Brown, she's a researcher and author, and I love her definition of shame, that shame is an intense, painful feeling or experience of believing that we are flawed and therefore unworthy of love, belonging, and connection. Now, it's not the idea that we experience pain, because we will experience pain, and it's not even the reality that we're not perfect, that there's some flaws to our humanity, because that is true. But when it leads to feeling unworthy of love, belonging, and connection, the result and the resulting emotion is this feeling of shame. The problem with shame is that shame grows in secrecy, silence, and judgment. And toxic shame, specifically, which is a deep rejection from relationship, leads us to isolation. When I've asked some of my friends when they've experienced shame, here's some of their answers. That shame is hiding the fact that I'm in recovery. Or shame is getting laid off and having to tell my wife. Shame is not getting the promotion. That's in a time where I've felt shame. Or another friend is, shame is the feeling when my husband left me for another. Shame is infertility. Shame is failing a class in school or feeling like I can't hear God because I'm not good enough. And the problem with shame, shame grows and grows in darkness. Shame grows in isolation, in secrecy. Shame grows in hiding. And when we hide with our shame, it doesn't get better. It just grows. But we have a God who seeks. Yes. You know, sometimes in the church we like to say that there are seekers. You know, like maybe you go to church and you're checking out church and you're like, I'm seeking God. The reality is you're not really a seeker, you're a hider, and you have a God who's seeking you. And so if you're like, you're here today or you're watching online, you're like, I don't even know why I'm here. Let me tell you why. Because you have a God who's seeking you. Yes. He's drawing you. He's calling you into truth. And specifically, Jesus is this great example of God not sitting back, just waiting and hiding and be like, I wonder if they can find me. Like, good luck. Find me in the clouds. Woo! You know, like, that's not what God's doing. He's saying, no, I'm seeking out the hiders, the creation, this human creation that I've created. They're hiding in their pain and their hurt and their sin, but I'm seeking them out. And so much so, he sent his son Jesus to seek us out, to let us know that there is a way out of hiding. In fact, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, this idea of he is the truth is this idea that he embodies what truth is. And so when we look at Jesus and we see truth, well, truth is an unconcealment, right? Truth is taking something out of hiding and bringing it into light where there is full recognition of. Jesus is the embodiment of that. Jesus calls us out of hiding and into full life. The reality is Jesus had to come because of an initial problem. And if you're familiar with Bible study, then you understand that at the very beginning of the Bible, we have this story of creation, Genesis. And from that creation, we see kind of where sin and broken humanity entered into the world. And the result of our broken humanity is, you could probably guess, is hiding. In fact, I would even say, as we look at this today, and we kind of read through the scripture, that not only was the result of the original sin hiding, but the first emotion, negative emotion, that Adam and Eve felt was shame. Let's take a look together. If you have a Bible, go ahead and open it to Genesis chapter 3, or if you want to tap the, what do you guys call it? Tap disc. Tap thingamabob. Tap sign. Go ahead and tap that in your Bible app. We'll open it up. Genesis chapter 3. And we'll start from the beginning, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals that the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat the fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. The serpent replies, you will not certainly die. Now, this is a half-truth, by the way, because they didn't die immediately, right? So it's kind of true. Like, you won't die if you eat the fruit. Kind of. It's a half-truth. They didn't die immediately. But did they experience death? Yeah, something changed in the inner scope of their soul and ours forevermore. The serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. Now let's pause for a minute. Eve evaluates the situation, and based off of the knowledge and the information that she had, she made a decision. Was it the right decision? No. In fact, it was a very, very wrong decision. It set off a domino effect that we now experience the consequences of millenniums later. It wasn't the right decision. But based off of the information that Eve had, she made a choice. And one of the beautiful things that God created us with is this ability to make some choices. And the reality, too, is that Eve didn't necessarily get the instructions from God. Who received the instructions? Adam did. She was hearing it secondhand. And so there was a little bit of maybe information disconnect. And the reason why I say this is because sometimes I think we can look at this story and just say, wow, look what Eve did. Such a terrible choice. She messed it all up. But the truth is that we are a humanity, a created being, and we're doing the best we can. We're doing the best we can. We're not perfect. In fact, I would even contest that maybe we were never made extremely perfect because we are given still desire and will and choice, it would seem, right? Perhaps for us to be completely perfect, we'd have to be robots with no choices, right? Like just only do this. I cannot do anything but this, right? And as soon as we have choice or we have desire or passion or any of these other things that make up the human condition, it comes with sometimes some consequences. And maybe you've had a moment where you're looking at it, it's pleasing to the eye, desirable for gaining wisdom, and so you take a step. And you're not sure it's the right step, and it ends up being a massive miss. Maybe you've experienced burnout, a fallout, or a strikeout. One of the outs in life. And maybe you've been beating yourself up from it. Maybe you felt a lot of shame. Maybe you've wondered, like, how could I have been so stupid? How could I have done that? And guilt and shame has just been eating you away. This morning, I want you to know, you did the best with what you had. You did the best. We are flawed. We're going to make a mistake. Probably one of the hardest things about when I'm looking towards the future or I'm thinking about the future is realizing that when I take a step or I try something new, I'm probably not going to do it perfectly. Anyone else a recovering perfectionist? That's so hard for me to grasp and be okay and accept it. That's really difficult. But it's true. But despite that, you're still worthy of love. You're still worthy of connection. You're still worthy of belonging. How do I know? Because despite this major miss, there was a God who still showed up. Yes. Yes. He still sought. Yeah. You think he was surprised? Like the God, all-knowing, powerful God, like didn't know immediately when this happened? I bet he did. But he still showed up. He still sought after Adam and Eve. Yeah. Let's take a look. Let's continue. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, so major consequence right there. And they realized that they were naked. They felt shame. Realizing that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. So if you need a theological precedence not to like figs, there you go. You're like, I've never liked fig Newtons. Now I know why. No. All right. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they did what? They hid from God among the trees in the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" Again, does the all-powerful creator God already know? Yeah. I bet he does. But he gives an opportunity. He calls out. He seeks Adam. Where are you? It's an invitation. It's not an indictment. It's an invitation. Where are you? Come out of hiding. Come out. He answered, "I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." So the first emotion was shame. The second emotion was fear. So when we feel shame, it's the result of having flaws. It's a result of making a mistake, something that we all will feel and experience. But when we are afraid of losing relationship, it becomes toxic shame. So we can't ignore this, and I hope you're getting this, by the way. You're going to feel shame to some degree in life. You're going to feel a sense of guilt, or in the church, sometimes we call that conviction, right? But when we understand that even despite that, we're still accepted, we're still loved, we're still in the context of relationship, it can actually be healthy for our growth. Yeah. It's when we fear that we're out of relationship, or we will lose relationship, or we will lose something in connection, or that we're not worthy of love, belonging, and connection. That's when shame becomes a toxic shame, and the result of that is hiding. This is why community is so important. This is why church community is so important. Because there's not a whole lot of places where we can feel unconditionally loved and accepted in our culture. But this place is a place where people will see you, will hear you, will sit with you, empathize with you. Because there's one thing that we all have in common in this room. We're all flawed. But the other thing that we have in common is we have a God who's seeking us. At the end of the day, God is seeking you out of your hiding places. But a shame off of you requires a here I am response. Yes. If we want shame to be off of us, and we want to experience life and life to the full, the life that Jesus is promising when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, there is a required action from us. And the required action is to step out of hiding. When God, the God of the universe, speaks into the stillness of your soul and says, where are you? Where are you today? There's a requirement for us to say, here I am. Here I am. Flawed, broken, mistakes, life not going the way that I want it to go. But here I am. I'm worthy somehow of your love. I'm worthy somehow of your belonging, calling me child. I'm worthy somehow of connection. So here I am. Here I am counters toxic shame. Here I am, very quickly, looks like two things. And these are in your fill in the blanks. Is the one to acknowledge the thoughts. Specifically, the automatic negative thoughts, because we all have them, right? Yeah. And you're going to have these thoughts that pop in your head that tell you, you know, all sorts of things. You know, you're so stupid, you're an idiot, blah, 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 whatever they are. And I want you to acknowledge those thoughts. Dr. Daniel Amen calls them ants, by the way, automatic negative thoughts. So if you need a good way to remember that, it's like a little ant running around your brain. Like, acknowledge those ants, take them captive, and speak what is true. The best way to kill those ants is to counter them. Yes. And ask the question, is this thought that I'm having about myself, is it a kind thought? Would you say it to your friend when they make a mistake? Probably not. So acknowledge it. Acknowledge it for what it is. Is it a true thought? A lot of times that we have these thoughts that are instigated by shame that are just not true. They're just not true. They're just a result of feeling shame, feeling guilt, feeling like we made a mistake. They drive us into hiding. But when we're able to acknowledge the negative thoughts, counter the negative thoughts, and reframe those thoughts, it can help counter shame. And the second one is probably the most important piece to counter shame, and I've already said it. It's healthy connection. Healthy connection. There's nothing that counters shame more than empathy. Nothing. When you have somebody that sees you on a deep level, that cares for you, that is willing to sit and understand you, empathy is the result. And it can help pull shame from a place of toxic shame to maybe healthy shame. Have you ever seen the movie Encanto? It's a Disney movie. If you've not seen it, I won't completely spoil it for you, but it's one of my favorite Disney movies, actually. My family and I, we go to Disney World quite often. We have passes, so we're Disney nerds. And Encanto is one of my favorite movies. And the reason why is because Encanto has this amazing theme about seeing one another, love and empathy. One of the main songs in Encanto is We Don't Talk About Bruno, right? We don't talk about Bruno, because Bruno had some flaws. And the shame that Bruno felt, the rejection that Bruno felt, because he was kind of the odd one in the bunch, resulted in Bruno actually going into hiding and disconnecting from the family unit. Bruno was so filled with shame. Even though he loved his family, he didn't believe that he was worthy of their love, their connection, or their belonging. But the end of the movie is this amazing moment where Maribel, the main character, kind of brings everyone back together. And the ending song is this idea that I see you. I see you. We see Bruno. We've called him out of hiding. We see all these characters and their gifts, and beyond their gifts, who they are at the core is valuable, worthy of love, connection, and belonging. Something that Disney knows. So they know how to tell a story and show the value of something that is very true. That connection changes the story. Connection changes your story. Empathy is powerful. Healthy connection drives out shame. So what does that look like for you today? Shame may be natural. You may have made a mistake. You're flawed. You did the best you could with the information that you had, but you still had an out. Maybe you've experienced some burnout, or you experienced a fallout or a strikeout. And there's different levels of severity to all of these mistakes, but at the end of the day, it's what we do with that shame. Will we allow it to drive us into isolation and in secrecy and just holding it all close to the chest? Or will we take a step towards acknowledging the thoughts for what they are and invite connection? I believe the human soul needs connection from two primary sources. The first is our Heavenly Father. And the second is from another person. And that's why I love the church. Because every time you step into this place, you're gonna hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're gonna hear a God who's seeking you and loves you. And you're gonna have an opportunity to experience him in a real, tangible way. Because he's here, he's present now. He's not far off and distant. He is present here. But you're also going to experience the connection of a real person. Somebody who says, I see you. And you know what? You got flaws, you got mistakes, and so do I. And that's okay. We can be honest. We can have conversations. Conversations that help heal us from the lies that shame likes to tell us. But it requires something. It requires a step. For some of us, it's a step to be honest about maybe some shame that you're carrying. Maybe you've been a Christian, you've been following Jesus for a long time, but today your here I am response looks like having a conversation with someone. Like, don't leave here today. If you've been carrying or feeling shame, like, don't leave without just having a conversation with somebody. Maybe a small group leader or a leader that you know here, a pastor, like, have a conversation. And maybe you can't have the full conversation, but maybe just say, hey, I want to tell you something, and then I want to have a conversation later, so can we get coffee? But take a step. Take a step. A here I am step. Maybe it's a confession. Maybe you got to be honest. Have an honest conversation with a family member, with your spouse. A here I am response. For others of us, maybe it's responding to the question that I believe the Holy Spirit is asking you today. Where are you? You have a God who's seeking you. He's inviting you. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Will you step out of hiding? Because I'm here. One of the most amazing things that I love about our God is when we take a step towards him, take a step out of hiding, he receives us exactly how we are. We don't have to change anything in that moment. We just say, here I am. Help me. And he begins to shape us. He begins to wipe away the shame, all the toxic, icky thoughts that maybe we've had. He begins to clean them up. And we never are left the same. Our lives are changed. When you talk to somebody who's experienced that, they'll even say things like, I don't know how to explain it, but my whole life is different. It just happened. I didn't do anything. It just, something took place inside of me. And the result came outward. And that's the best I can describe it. That is the power of a God who says, I love you. I see you. Regardless of your flaws, I got you. Just come. Just come. Can we pray together all across this room? Would you mind bowing your heads, closing your eyes? If that's you and you would say, I need to respond specifically to that call from Jesus today. I'm saying, where are you? I want to step into, out of hiding and ask Jesus to lead me, be my leader, my savior, my rescuer. Would you just lift up your hand right where you are? Right where you are. I just want to see who I'm praying with. I see you. Anyone else? See you. Okay. You can put your hand down right where you're at. I just want you to pray this in your heart. Say, Jesus, I need you. I step out of hiding and I invite you into my life. Help me. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my flaws, my mistakes. I ask that you would be my leader from here on out. Rescue me, help me, and guide me. I choose to follow you today and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Local City Podcast. I want to encourage you to take the message you just heard and allow it to go deeply into your heart. Let Jesus do the deep work that only he can do. A special thank you to everyone who gives to Local City Church. Your generosity makes this podcast possible and creates life change for so many people. You can be a part of spreading this message by going to localcity.church/give. You can also subscribe, rate, and share this message with your family and friends. Thanks again for listening. God bless you. Have a great day.